May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father Dan Witt and I found ourselves reading the same gospel stuff this morning, and it would take forever to read all of it to you. So let me just share a few things. This is from Luke chapter 6. And this is the Luke abbreviated account of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you read through this, even though there are warnings, it's just full of blessing. You're blessed, 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 blessed as a reward for you for this. Like in verse 20, it says, "And turning his gaze on his disciples, he began to say, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom.'" Verse 21, "Blessed are you who hunger. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you when men hate you." Verse 23, "For behold, your reward is great in heaven." But this is a scripture that I want you to see. And then we'll come back and show you, because we don't have time to look at all this stuff. In verse 39, he says, "And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? And a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher." Now, it's kind of stuck in this middle of this section on the Sermon on the Mount, where he again says, a pupil is not better than your teacher. Like, why would he say that? And then he says, but when a pupil is fully trained, he'll be like his teacher. And so what he's saying here is that Jesus' goal is for you to be fully trained so that you'll be like him. You'll be Christ-like. But don't think that you can establish rules of behavior that somehow you know better than he does. Now, having said that, and having said this is a chapter about blessing, verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek," and Dan was saying it's a Jewish idiom about insulting someone in public, "whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Whoever takes away your coat, do without your shirt. Do not withhold your shirt from him either." Now you do understand this is like the radical discipleship thing, the Sermon on the Mount was, for those who are serious about taking up their cross daily and following him. And it doesn't sound like the way we think we should operate at all. Doesn't seem very fair and not very American, right? Somebody takes your coat, then you go beat them up and get it back. Or do something to make them, take them to court. "Give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want men to treat you, treat them in the same way. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same thing. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend and expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil people." You'll look like your dad's child. "Be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. And do not pass judgment, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you shall not be condemned." And I love it in this verse, in this Luke passage said, "And pardon, and you will be pardoned." Then verse 38, and every time I've ever heard people teach on giving, financial giving, they always quote this verse and includes that, but he's mainly, just think of the context about turning the other cheek, showing kindness, loving. Give to everyone who asks you. It's about being merciful towards people, showing mercy. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out, it will be dealt to you in return. Now, my italics says whatever measure you deal out to others, but that's not just supposed to be there. Just whatever you deal out, it will be dealt to you in return. What did you just get through saying earlier? Be merciful. Don't pass judgment. You won't be judged. I mean, there's a place in the Sermon on the Mount that's recorded in Matthew says, be merciful and you will receive mercy. I don't know about you, but my need for mercy is an extreme one. And I want to accumulate all of that I can possibly get. Just the kindness of God, the goodness of God manifested in my life. Verse 41, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself not take out the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. There's a bunch of stuff, and we could do like weeks of Bible study on this. But he said, here's the job of a pupil. Become like your teacher. Don't think you're better than your teacher, and you get to set your own rules. In other words, take my coat. I'm getting it back. Because that's the way it's supposed to work. That's fair. But mercy isn't fair. I don't want God to teach. I do not want God to treat me based on what's fair. The only thing fair is that I'll bust hell wide open. But grace, because he's a giver, that's not going to happen to me. And to be like the teacher is to be a giver. Frank Costantino, some of you know him, he was a great man, old friend, died some years ago. He was a mobster. One of the best, most famous mobsters in America. Got put in jail for stealing, trying to steal $5 million worth of furs in a shop across the street from the police station on Easter morning. Was sentenced to 22 years in prison. He was brilliant. The only reason, there was one little alarm thing he didn't know about that went off. But he got out after 7 years, and he met Christ in a radical way when he was in prison. And one of the things that he discovered, this was his saying all the time, and he said, you know, I can be with a person for just a few minutes and know. He said, there are only two kinds of people in this world, and there are givers and takers. Givers are winners, and takers are losers. See, the problem with giving, though, you have to trust that there is a reward coming, that your Father will bless you. But if we don't really believe that this Christian life is supernatural, we're going to always want to take back from people because we don't want to suffer loss at your hands, period. The log is being judgmental, condemning, not pardoning people. And what he says, if you go back and read the Matthew 7 passage, that it's the most serious sin that a human being can commit. That every other sin is like a speck compared to the log that won't pardon, that won't show mercy, that judges and condemns. And that's when he says, so how can you be, if you think that person's got a blind area in their life, and they've somehow mistreated you, and you come at them with judgment and condemnation and refuse to pardon, he said, don't you understand that you're so much more blind than they are? How in the world can you take a speck out of their eye when you're totally blind? How can the blind lead the blind? So imagine then if you needed some eye surgery and you went to the ophthalmologist and the ophthalmologist was blind and was going to do surgery on you. You had a little issue, He'd probably slaughter you, right? That's what we do to other people all the time, don't we? With our judgment, with our condemnation, with our unforgiveness, with our resentment. He says, give and it will be given to you. I believe that. I'm contending for that. I want to be like my teacher. And here's the thing. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Schindler's List. It's a little bit rough, but I watched it years ago because it's a powerful true story about Nazi Germany and how so many people were slaughtered. It's one of those movies that leave you scarred in some way, just to see this man's inhumanity to man, what we can do. But there was this insane sort of German officer who was in charge there in Poland, who was just slaughtering Jews. Just he'd just walk down the street and just shoot them. And this other man was trying to appeal to him to stop doing that. And he said, anybody can punish. He said, but the most powerful thing in the world is when you realize you can pardon somebody. The ability to pardon somebody is the most powerful thing in the world. There's more authority there than anywhere else. Well, that German officer bought into it for like 2 or 3 days and he couldn't stand it anymore. Started shooting people again because he was insane. But I remember a place in the movie there, there was somebody, a Jew, that had done something that just disappointed him. They had not cleaned his tub well enough. And he looked at them and he went, I pardon you. He even made the sign of the cross. And I thought, you know, that really is true. You're more Christ-like than any other time. You're more like your teacher when you can pardon. And pardoning somebody is even more than forgiving them. Pardoning is like going, as far as I'm concerned, you didn't commit the offense. See, forgiveness and pardoning is based on this really unfair thing, trusting that God's going to work it all out. God's going to bless you. God's going to deal with them. All that is, for love's sake, I'm willing to take the loss. And the word pardon means to set you free. You're free. You're pardoned. Our president, and all presidents do, just pardon like 1,000 people right before he leaves. That must be the coolest thing in the world. I'd want to be the I would only want to be president for the last 2 weeks of the 4 years or the 8 years. So you could just pardon people. That is the, because that's got to be the most Christ-like feeling in the world. Whether you agree with who he pardons or doesn't pardon, every president's pardoned some people that people didn't like. But that's the story. That's the biggest thing about being a giver, is when you're actually able to pardon people. Because if you don't, you really don't have anything to say to anybody. You're just blind people trying to lead blind people. And you end up both falling off the cliff. God may be perfect, but he's not harsh. Amen. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.